Well, it is now the 43rd day of this year's celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We began on Easter Sunday. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Easter is not just a single day of the year. Easter is a season. And we proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen on Easter Sunday and on every Sunday since then. We have proclaimed that same thing. We literally can't shout it enough. For the resurrection of Jesus is absolutely central to our faith as Christians. Without the resurrection, the words, the actions of Jesus, well, they'd only be one of many different philosophies of how to live one's life. But the power of God the Father, the same power that brought the whole of creation into being, was fully at work in the resurrection. We remember, of course, that the crucifixion came before the resurrection as Jesus willingly surrendered his life for us, making an offering that we could not make. It was nothing short of a totally new creation that raised Jesus from the dead, that infused the Word of God with the power to save sinners. And in case you missed it, my brothers and sisters, we are all sinners. Not left in despair, however, because that's the good news. It's the unlimited love of God. God's refusal to allow sin and death to have the final word that has given us the path to forgiveness and eternal life and the desire to sing Alleluia to God. We can be reconciled with God and one another. We can love God and love our neighbor because Jesus, the Lord of life, has been raised from the dead. Alleluia, Christ is risen. That is... Sure, say it again. Say it, Faye. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. I gave you the cue and I didn't give you the chance. But there's more. There's more. This season of Easter that we are celebrating also encompasses another important aspect of our faith. Does anyone know what it is? I'll give you a hint. The sister knows the answer to this. Some of you do. It's remembered every year on the 40th day of the Easter season. Shout it out there, sister. Ascension Day. The day of the... Yes, well, I told you on Wednesday, didn't I? Good. And it sort of goes by us, unfortunately, in our observance of the Easter season because it always falls on a Thursday. But this Sunday, which is the seventh Sunday of the Easter season, we also refer to it as the Sunday following Ascension Day. And we can focus a bit on what that means to us in our faith. Because, see, the Acts of the Apostles informs us that following his resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples. And then he left them to ascend to the Father, but not without first giving them a promise. He ascended into heaven. The Son of God, born of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother. And he ascended and took our human nature into heaven, where we are told he now intercedes for us. Stop for a few seconds and ponder this. Holy Jesus, whom humanity rejected, is at this very moment praying for us. The death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus should drop us to our knees in humility before God. But then also raise us up to our feet in praise. You know, Episcopalians are often described, and I was down in Virginia this weekend. I was down there to be with my cousins as we placed my aunts, their mothers, remains in the National Cemetery down in Stanton. And we were talking, sitting around, drinking a little bit of the Spirit of God. It's a guy named Jack, I think. I was with until the wee hours of the morning. And we were the conversation got around to faith, and I was being asked. I was just there to, you know, be with family, and I was being asked questions. Even my cousins were raised Episcopalians. Some have stayed. Some have kind of wandered away. And one of them described, they said, well, you know, the thing about Episcopalians is they're always up and down. You know, you go to church and you're just up and down and all that sort of stuff. And I realized that's how a lot of people often describe Episcopalians, you know, sometimes in a kidding way, as we're those Christians who just can't sit still during worship. You know, first we stand, and then we sit, and then we stand again, and then we sit again. At some point, we kneel, or maybe we sit or stand before we actually get up out of our pews, come forward to receive the presence of Christ and the bread and the wine, only to return back to our pews, maybe for a little more kneeling, a little more sitting, and finally we stand. Keeps us in shape, actually. And while some might view all of this this motion as curious or even something to make light of, I offer no apologies for any. When we Episcopalians worship, we react to all that God has done for us, not only with our words, but also with the posture of our bodies. How could we sit unmoved while the abundance of divine grace is being so liberally poured out upon those who turn to God in faith? Of course, regardless of how Christian denominations might differ in their forms of worship, our shared belief is in both resurrection and ascension of Jesus. Maybe we should start something new. I'm not a liturgical officer for the diocese. Maybe I can convince our new bishop to do this. But perhaps on this Sunday following Ascension Day, we should proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is ascended. Go ahead, Faye, give it back to me. Lord is ascended indeed. Alleluia. Yeah, well, maybe not. Maybe not. We are going to be revising our prayer book here sometime in the future. Perhaps we can add that option in. But wait, there's even more. Have you noticed that God always promises more, not less? Because Jesus, after his resurrection and before he ascended into heaven, promised that the Holy Spirit would descend upon all believers. Now, I don't want to give the whole story away because that's Pentecost. That's next Sunday. But God's Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would lead them into all truth. Give them power to go out into the world to proclaim the good news of God. First, however, they were told they would have to wait. Jesus gave them a little breathing room. A little breathing room to begin to trust one another without him being present. The Acts of the Apostles tells us that they used this little bit of their time organizing their leadership, but mostly spending their time together in prayer. It was a time of holy waiting and discernment. A time to hold on to all that they had been taught and experienced and to prepare themselves for what was to come. We have to wonder if they could have possibly imagined where they were to go, how they would leave their mark on the world, and in what new and marvelous ways God would work through them to touch the lives of others. There's many facets to the Christian life. Accepting the self-sacrificing love of Jesus Christ. Being willing to receive the unlimited forgiveness and grace of God the Father. Being open to new possibilities through the Holy Spirit. And all of it supported and nourished by prayer. and periods of holy waiting. So what are we waiting for at St. James? Or what are we as individuals waiting for in our lives? Now, these are questions I can't answer for you today. But what I can offer is myself. For as long as that we are together, that I will pray for you, as I hope that you might pray for me. For together we are an Easter people, ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. Not just for a day or for a season, but for all time. For all time may we in faith boldly proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen and ascended. He's risen and ascended indeed. Alleluia.